Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Blessed and hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has allowed us to come before you once again, Almighty Yah. Once again, even this evening, even this night, another day, the Creator has allowed us to bring to you His great, holy, and exalted words, even the words of Yah. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, on 1907 Vine Street, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it's true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth. For y'all ordained me to tell you the truth. So this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king. He's our judge. He is our lawgiver. And Yah is our only savior. And not just of Israel. Yah is the savior of the world. Now praise the mighty Yah once again for allowing us to come before you. We do apologize for our tardiness this evening. And we also apologize for yesterday's program, where I seem to have some type of allergic reaction. But we're back, ready to go, to answer all the various questions that my beautiful brothers and sisters have. The Creator lets us know in the book of Isaiah 42, if we turn there, in the book of Isaiah 42, the Creator lets us know in the 13th verse, Yah shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I was long time holding my peace. I've been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herbs. And I will make the rivers islands and I will dry up the pools. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. So the Creator is emphatically letting us know, make no mistake about it, He's going to bring the blind by a way that they do not, paths that they have not known. And the Creator also let us know He will make the crooked things straight. And it is true. There's a lot of crooked things that must be straightened out. I know many of our people think they have the answers to a lot of these crooked things. But the Creator let us know something very important in the book of Jeremiah 23. And let's see what the Creator said. In the book of Jeremiah 23, I'm going to start reading Jeremiah the 16th verse. Thus says Yahweh, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of Yah. They say, steal unto them that despise me. Yah said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who have stood in the counsel of Yahweh and have perceived and heard his word? Who have marked his word and heard it? And these are questions because Yahweh want to know really whoever who stood in his counsel, who perceived and heard his word, the true word of Yah, who have marked his word and heard it. Behold, a whirlwind of Yah is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of Yahweh shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly, and we are indeed in the latter days. And this is the main part that I want you to see and consider. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a Elohim, my hand, says Yah, and not a Elohim afar off? So what is this letting us know? A lot of people think they have the answers. A lot of people talking. A lot of people think they know the book. But at the end of the day, if they have marked and perceived and heard the word of Yahweh and stood in his counsel, then they should have turned the various people that is listening to them from their evil way. This is one of the signs that the Creator gives his messengers, so when he go talk to the people, they have marked, heard, and perceived his great words, then they begin to adopt changes in their life. And then we have a lot of people that say they know the book, they know the word, but yet the people are not changing when they hear these various powerful words out of their mouth. As a matter of fact, they're not changing. And we're going to show you why. But before I continue on, are there any questions at this time? Well, let me show you a few things why. And let me show you a couple things. One is in the book of Proverbs. And we're going to talk a little bit. Before I get any of your questions, we're going to talk to each other. And sometimes we just got to talk. Because I get a lot of people call me and they want to show me this and want to show me that. And, well, you can show me whatever you want to show me. But at the end of the day, this is not about me. This is about the Most High. This is about his word. This is about his people. And therefore, if Yahweh have given you a vision, or he have revealed and gave you revelations of his secrets, then you go to Yahweh's people so they can know. And then let us analyze it and let us vet it and let us see if what you're saying is the truth. This is what the Creator is saying in the book of Proverbs 28. And I'm going to start reading at the fourth verse and watch what it says. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law continue with them. So the very first thing we look for in understanding the Creator's word, are you a law keeper? Do you believe in the law? You keep man's law. You keep the law of the land. You keep your rules and laws in your house. You keep the rules and the various laws in the job that you have. But do you keep the Creator laws? And there's many of our people will tell you that you can't keep the law. But as we can see here, wisdom teaches otherwise. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law continue with them. And watch this fifth verse. It says, evil men understand not judgment. And this is real important because judgment is coming upon this land. Judgment is coming upon our people. Judgment is coming upon the wicked. Judgment is coming upon the sinners. Judgment is coming upon the whole entire earth. And you're not going to escape the judgment of Yahweh. And then it further says, evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek Yahweh understand all things. And what is it, and how do you seek the Most High? You seek the Most High through humility. You have to humble yourself before the Most High and all the righteous and all the holy men and all the various messengers of Yahweh knew exactly how to seek the Most High, that they might get answers, not just for themselves, but also for the people. And judgment is indeed coming upon the earth as well as our people. And are the people prepared? Are they prepared? And this is a very important question. I also want you to read something in the book of Proverbs, the 29th chapter. In Proverbs, the 29th chapter, I want you to read the 18th verse. And this is what it says. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And oftentimes I see a lot of people unhappy. And I don't see a lot of people that are happy. Unhappy themselves. Unhappy with Israel. They're unhappy with the inhabitants of the earth. They're unhappy with their family. They're just not a happy people at all. And you might ask yourself, why are you not happy? And here it lets me know Where there is no vision, the people, they perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, why is that so profound? It's profound because once you begin, once you learn, and once you dedicate yourself to the laws of the Most High, it brings you unrelenting peace. It brings you unrelenting happiness. Yes, you're going to have down times and down moments because everyone do. But when you wake up in the morning, you're going to be happy. You're going to be happy because you know it was the Most High. You know it was through his command that the breath of life stayed within you. And now you have another day, another opportunity, not only to praise Yahweh, to worship Yahweh, but you also have another chance to return unto Yahweh, that he might return unto thee. And so if your mind is on him, as it should be, because happy is he that keep the law. If your mind is on him, this is what the Creator would do. And then I'll take any questions. In the book of Isaiah, I think you're going to find this in the book of Isaiah. Let's see. One second, I had this scripture right on my mind, and then it left me. And let me tell you what the scripture says, and then I'm sure it's going to come right back to me. But let me check one more place. And let me tell you what the scripture says. I don't have to tell you. I can just read it to you. I found it. And it's in the book of Isaiah, the 26th chapter. And watch what it says. Third verse. And it says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. And what our people have to begin to learn is how to keep their mind on the Most High, how to trust the Most High, and Yahweh will do the rest of the work. And what is the rest of the work? He will keep you in perfect peace. And if you understand what perfect peace is, perfect peace, and this is what I found about the Most High. Yahweh said, his ways are not our ways, nor is his thoughts our thoughts. Whereas Yahweh told us, according to his word, we shall have no respect of persons. But we will respect people. Even though Yahweh said, don't respect no persons. Even though Yahweh said, 6 days that I hate a proud look. Not only in our look, we will be proud of everything that's around us. Yahweh said he hate pride, but we will have pride in this and pride in that. And even our very peace that we think we supposed to have, that we think we should have, Yahweh peace is totally different than our peace. And Yahweh said he will keep us in perfect peace. And one day we're going to teach about what is true peace from Yahweh. What is perfect peace? Any questions? Hallelujah. Praise my Yah.
First question is Deuteronomy 60:16. Can you explain this, please? What do we do if we can't observe here? Shalom.
What? Now repeat that question.
Deuteronomy 16, chapter verse 16. Can you explain this? And the question is, what can we do if we can't observe here?
Right. All right, let's read Deuteronomy 16, verse 16. And this is what it says. Deuteronomy 16 and 16, three times in a year shall all thy males appear before Yahweh Elohim in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before Yahweh empty. So here is a law that lets us know that we had to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, because we already were staying in the land, but this was a pilgrimage to Jerusalem for a feast. Now, it's not, as I was telling you before, the way we see things is not the way Yahweh sees things. See, when we read the word feast, we think this is a type of feast where we go and just start eating and drinking and having a buffet, and that is not the case. When it says the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the word feast comes from the Hebrew word kag, which means sacrifice. So how this really should read is three times in a year shall all thy males appear before Yahweh their Elohim in a place which he shall choose, in the sacrifice of unleavened bread, not the feast. They just translated this feast, but really in Hebrew it would say sacrifice. It would say kag matzah, which sacrifice of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, which also is kag shavuot, and in the feast of tabernacles, sukkot. These are all sacrifices, and this is why you had to appear in Jerusalem three times a year, because Jerusalem was the only place that you could make sacrifices unto Yahweh. You could not make any sacrifices outside of Jerusalem. So that's the first thing. Now, there are certain statues in Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that one was able to do. In the Feast of Weeks, we look for the various statues that we might possibly could do, and we found none. We look for the various things that we might be able to do in the Feast of Tabernacles, and we also found none. I know some people will build booths and things like that, and as a memorial, and I don't necessarily say that's wrong, but it does say to build booths all those who's keeping the sacrifice, who's keeping the feast. But in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, this is what the Creator said you were able to do. If you go to the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter, and this is the only thing that we found that can be done outside of Jerusalem. And this is what it says in the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter. concerning the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And remember what I said. The word feast means sacrifice. And all your sacrifices had to be done in Jerusalem. And this is what it says in the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter. And we're going to start reading at the 15th verse. And watch what it says. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. So this is where you lived. And somebody say, well, that's in the land. Well, let's see if it say in the land, or let's see if it say in your house. 7 days ye shall eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eat of leavened bread from the first day until the 7th day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. So this is how serious this law is, that you'll be cut off if you don't eat unleavened bread. And in the 1st day, there shall be a holy convocation. And in the 7th day, there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, except that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. Now, we don't have that holy convocation on the 1st day. And we don't have that holy convocation on the 7th day because this had to be done in Jerusalem. Because this whole pilgrimage was to Jerusalem. Except what you took out of your house and except what you ate for 7 days. Watch what it says. 17 verse. And ye shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's talking about a sacrifice. For in the self same day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. Now watch this. How did Yahweh want you to observe this forever? In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. That's how he wanted you to observe it. Eat unleavened bread. And the 14th at eve to the 21st day at eve, that's 7 days. And watch what it says. So we eat it for 7 days. 19 verse. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened. All your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. What is your habitation? Your habitation is where you live, your house, the place that you live in. So this is what we do. And not only we eat unleavened bread for 7 days, but we also remove all the leaven out of our houses for 7 days. As the statue of unleavened bread commands us to do. But if it commands us to be somewhere where we know we cannot, or make sacrifices we know we can't, we don't do that. We only do what the statutes command us to do. So, for example, not only we do that in the beginning of the year. Now, why do we eat unleavened bread? And why do we remove unleavened bread? Because Yahweh said, this is in the selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by ordinance forever. So Yahweh wanted us to remember that. And those are the two things that he wanted us to do to remember it. to memorialize it. Furthermore, Yahweh also let us know in the book of Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, even though you didn't ask this, but I just want to show you what else we do and why we do it. In Leviticus 23:3, this is what it says. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of Yahweh in all your dwellings. So in all our dwellings, we keep the Sabbath. Furthermore, in the same Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, it lets us know in the 23rd verse, and Yahweh spake unto Moshe, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, ye shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing the trumpets, and holy convocation, and this is what we do. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. And so we don't make this offering made by fire because we don't have no priest. We don't have no altar. Nor can we take this to Jerusalem. But we can have a memorial of blowing the trumpets. It didn't tell us we had to do this in a land. It didn't tell us we had to do this in Jerusalem. It had no restrictions at all, other than the fact that we were to observe it and memorialize it. The 26th verse. And Yahweh spake unto Moshe, saying, also on the 10th day of the seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. And as I explained to you before, all our offerings made by fire had to be done in Jerusalem. But can you afflict yourself? And can you have a holy convocation? Well, we're going to see. And ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before Yahweh Elohim. For what? So now watch what this says. Just like unleavened bread, if you don't eat unleavened bread, and a soul that eat of anything leavened, that soul shall be cut off. Now watch what it says about the Day of Atonement. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be inflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. Ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be a Sabbath of rest. Ye shall afflict your souls in the ninth of the month at even. From even unto even shall ye celebrate your Sabbath. So these are the things that we do no matter where we at. And these are the things that we've been doing. So Deuteronomy 16:16, these are talking about sacrifices, and we don't do those. Because the only place we can keep Yahweh's sacrifices is in Jerusalem. And you'll find that in the book of Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter, where that's the only place that Yahweh will allow sacrifices to be done. All about keeping the Creator laws. Some people will have you, they will tell you that we can't keep all the laws in captivity. Really, this statement is made in error. Yahweh wants you to keep all his laws, all his commandments, all his statutes, and all his judgment. So, for example, so you can understand what I mean, if you look in the book of Jeremiah, for example, Jeremiah the 7th chapter, if you turn there, because sometimes people don't understand everything we're saying, so we try to give you the sense and the meaning. In the book of Jeremiah, the 7th chapter, the 21st verse, and watch what it says. Thus says Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, I will be your Elohim, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. See, this is the part that we don't want to do. I'm going to read it again. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice. That's number one. And I will be your Elohim, and ye shall be my people. And then number two, walk ye in all the ways that I've commanded you, that it may be well unto you. And those two things we have to learn to do. So whatever Yahweh say, whatever Yahweh command, whatever Yahweh obey, that's what we have to do. Now, did Yahweh command us to make sacrifices in everywhere we at? No, he did not. So what do that mean? Does that mean we don't keep sacrifices? No. That means we actually do. Because if we were making sacrifices everywhere, then we will be disobedient. But the fact that we're not making sacrifices everywhere, that means we are obedient. We are obeying the voice of Yahweh. And some people have it twisted. They think because we're not doing certain laws, that do away with all the laws. No. The only reason we're not doing certain laws because the law tells us not to do it. So we are obeying the voice of Yahweh. And in addition to that, we are walking in his ways. This is a requirement of all the righteous. This is what all the righteous did. And this is what Yahweh commanded all the righteous to do. Let me show you this. Go to the book of Genesis for a second. Because a lot of people, they'll go talking about, you're not teaching what so-and-so teaching. You're not, so-and-so didn't teach this and so-and-so didn't say that. Who is so-and-so? We act like Yahweh don't exist. What did Yahweh say? Watch what this says. And I said Genesis 22, but we're going to read Genesis 26. Watch what it says. Second verse. And Yahweh appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee, talking about Isaac, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And watch what it says. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. This is what Abraham did, even though Abraham married his own sister. But that wasn't against Yahweh's law. Yahweh never said that to Abraham, but he did say it to us. Because Yahweh said he will magnify the law and make it honorable. So there's things in the near the future people will learn that we didn't know, that I didn't know, that you don't know. But yet we will know tomorrow. Yahweh already prophesied that he will make the crooked things straight. And there's a lot of crooked things. There's we all got to be straightened out. I got to be straightened out. You got to be straightened out. Our people got to be straightened out. Even our fathers of old had to be straightened out. But the things that they knew, Yahweh was well pleased with those things. He was well pleased. They did the best they could. That's why the Creator said this about Noah during his lifetime in the book of Genesis, the 7th chapter. And when Noah was living, Noah didn't have the book of wisdom like we do. Noah didn't have the 5 books of Moses like we do. Noah didn't have Psalms. Noah didn't have the book of the prophets. He didn't have none of these things. But this is what he did have. In Genesis, the 7th chapter, the very first verse. And Yahweh said unto Noah, come down and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Now, what righteousness did Yahweh see in Noah that he thought to bring him into the ark? Whatever it was, whatever this righteousness was, that's why the scripture says, my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. And a lot of people don't know Yahweh's righteousness. And let me show you this. Any questions? And I'll show you what Yahweh said. But go ahead.
Praise Yah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Question is fasting a good tool to humble ourselves? And on the Day of Atonement, is fasting the affliction that Yah commands us to do?
Well, definitely, if fasting is the affliction that Yahweh commands us, when he say afflict thy soul, yes, he's talking about through fasting. When Yahweh afflicted us, it was through withholding food from us. Yes, this is what the various prophets did for sin. This is what the holy men did to come near unto Yahweh. And just to show you one scripture on that, is in the book of Deuteronomy, the 9th chapter, if you turn there. And yes, this is the thing that we do on the Day of Atonement. And I know other people will tell you, well, no, all you got to do is humble yourself. Well, how you do that? Well, you got to rend your heart. Well, how you do that? You got to afflict. How you do that? Well, let me tell you how you afflict the heart. You afflict the heart by afflicting the soul. And as soon as the soul is afflicted, then you're going to see how lustful, how vain, and how wicked the heart is. Because the very thing you stop giving the soul, the heart going to want it, because the heart feed off what you get the soul. So, for example, Stop smoking if you're a smoker and see what your heart starts saying to you. If you're a drinker, stop drinking and see what your heart starts saying to your soul. Is your heart going to tell the soul, man, you crazy? Man, get me something to drink. Man, what are you doing? Man, you done lost your mind. Get me something to drink. Oh, you don't want to give me something to drink? I'm going to make you shake, shiver, and dance. I'm going to make you sick if you don't get me something. And this is what happens because the heart is wicked, desperately wicked, above all things. Who can know it? So as soon as you begin to afflict the soul, then you'll see how wicked the heart is. But in Deuteronomy 9th chapter, this is what Moses did. And who was Moses? According to the scriptures, Moses was not like any other prophet. According to the scriptures, Moses, Yahweh allowed him to see his glory. According to the scriptures, Moses was a man that nobody don't even know where he buried at. This is how, and according to the scriptures, this is the only man in the scriptures where Yahweh said he spoke to him face to face as a man speaking unto a friend. And watch what it says about Moses in the 17th verse. And I took the two tables, cast them out of my two hands. Deuteronomy, the 9th chapter, the 17th verse. And I took the two tables, cast them out of my two hands, broke them before your eyes, and I fell down before Yahweh as at the first, 40 days and 40 nights. Now, who can do this? Just 40 days and 40 nights, I did neither eat bread nor drink water because of all your sins which ye sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of Yahweh to provoke him to anger. That Moses didn't fast for his own sin. Moses fasted for the sin of the people 40 days and 40 nights. Here it is. Our people don't even want to do it one day and one night, let alone 40. And they don't even want to do it for their own sin. And Moses did it for the people's sin. And that's the difference. So, yes, fast is for humility. But at the end, you still had to change. You had to turn. You just can't fast and then start being a glutton again. You can't fast and still just start smoking again. You can't fast and just start being a fool again, as many of our people do. Yes, sir.
Praise Yah.
Hallelujah.
Have another question. Since remembering the Shabbat day is the fourth commandment, does it do the same seven things that the sun, moon, and stars do in Genesis 1, verse 14 through 18? If so, how?
Read that again.
Since remembering the Shabbat day is the fourth commandment, does it do the same seven things that the sun, moon, and stars do? That's in Genesis, the first chapter, 14 verse. And if so, how?
I'm not sure if I really understand that question. Is they're asking me, since the Sabbath day is the fourth commandment, and the fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yah thy Elohim. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days Yah made heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is, and rested the Sabbath day. Wherefore Yah blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So I'm not sure exactly what you're asking me. However, why is the Sabbath day the fourth commandment? Well, it's the fourth commandment because the fourth represents Yahweh's praise. So the sun, moon, and stars also represents Yahweh's praise. They represent Yahweh's praise in another way that is different than the Sabbath day, because the Sabbath day is on the seventh day. Even though it's the fourth commandment showing you that on the Sabbath, we got to praise him, but it's on the seventh day. The sun, moon, and stars was born on the fourth day, letting you know that it was born for Yahweh's praise, for Yahweh's glory, for Yahweh's honor. And yes, there were things that the sun, moon, and stars is purposed to do each and every day, but it was born to do it for Yahweh's praise and his honor. And every time you read about this fourth, you will read something about Yahweh's praise. And let me just show you an example of this. You go to the book of Genesis. This is what I want you to see. Genesis 49. And watch what this says. In the book of Genesis, the 49th chapter, the 8th verse, this is what it says. Yehuda, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. And why? Well, if you study this, you will find out Yehuda is the fourth tribe. If you study 1 Kings, the 6th chapter, when Yahweh built the temple in the fourth year, it was built for his name. And why his name? To praise his name. If you study the scriptures, in the fourth year, we had to bring all our fruits, our offerings in the fourth year to praise Yahweh, because the fourth represents Yahweh's praise. So the sun, moon, and stars, that's why I was born on the fourth day. And that's why the Sabbath was the fourth commandment. Watch what it says for the fourth tribe. A verse, Yehuda, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thy enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. And this is dealing with praise, dealing with honor. Watch what it says in Leviticus, the 19th chapter. verse. But in the fourth year, all the fruit thereof shall be holy to praise Yah with all, because the fourth represents Yahweh's praise. That's the reason why you're supposed to have four fringes on the border of your garments, because those fringes represent Yahweh's praise. Yes, sir. So, yes, that's in the sun, moon, and stars. They also represent Yahweh's praise. The moon and the stars represent his praise at night, and the sun represents his praise in the day. So all day and all night, Yahweh is getting his praise. Now, when do Yahweh want his praise from you, people, his servants? Well, let me show you that. In the book of Psalms, the 50th division. Oh, no, let's go to Psalms 113. Psalms 113. Since the sun gives his praise all day, and the moon and the stars will give his praise all night, but watch when Yahweh wants you to give your praise to him. And this is what it says. The very first verse. Praise you, Yahweh. Praise, O you servants of Yahweh. Praise the name of Yahweh. Blessed be the name of Yahweh from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same. Yah's name is to be praised. So in other words, Yahweh wants his people to praise him from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same sun. So that's from morning until evening. Not morning to morning, not evening to evening, but from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same. But Yahweh still will get his praise at night, because at night he has the moon and the stars coming out. And what come out during that time? Well, you'll read what comes out during that time. And you'll read that in the book of Psalms 104. And this is something that our people don't want to, they don't want to believe and trust the Most High in. Watch what it says. Psalms 104:19. It says, he appointed the moon for seasons. What season? You talking about the holy day season? No. He appointed the moon for appointed times. At what appointed times? And it's going to tell you. The sun, nor if it's going down, because it's an appointed time. Thou makest darkness, and it is night. And what come out at night? The moon. And watch what it says. Wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. So Yahweh getting his praise then. What you think they waiting on for them to come forth? They waiting on the moon, the stars, and the night. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from Elohim. Where do you think they get their food from? And watch what happens. The sun arises, and they gather themselves together and lay down in their dens. In other words, it's time to go in. We've been out all night getting our meat from the Most High. Now it's time to go lay down. Now it's time to rest. It's too hot out there for us. And watch the 23rd verse. So the beast and the moon and the stars, did they work? Now watch the 23rd verse. Man go forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. So here it is. Man, morning to evening. Beast, from evening to morning. Yahweh is getting his praise with the sun, moon, and stars. Any other questions? And these are some of the things that our people must learn. Yahweh said he will make the crooked things straight. And this is why in the book of, going back to the book of Isaiah 42, I want you to see this also. In And look what it says. Eighteenth verse. Hear ye deaf and look ye blind that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant? Or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect and blind as Yahweh's servant? And that's an emphatic nobody. There's nobody more blind than Yahweh's servant. See many things, but thou observest not. Opening the ears, but he heareth not. Yahweh is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. And he's so pleased with it, he will magnify the law, get honorable. That's what Yahweh is going to do. So things that we know today, we will know better tomorrow. Because Yahweh is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. See, we under no illusions at all. Yahweh is going to magnify this law. He's going to clear things up. Things that we think are clear today, he will make them even clearer tomorrow. The only people that's fixated on what they think is absolute is people that don't know the Most High. Now, there are some absolute things, and let me tell you what they are. There is no other Elohim but Yah. Yah only has one book, and that's why Yahweh says, seek ye out of the book of Yahweh and read, because he only has one book, and it's very important to know the oneness of Yahweh. Yahweh only has one law. Yahweh's name is only one. Yah is only, he's the one Elohim. Only one creator made us all. He's only one father. Gave us one ordinance, one way. And he will give us one heart, not this double heart we have today. So there are some absolutes, some take it to the bank things, but then there's some things we just got to learn. We got to grow. We got to develop. And there's a lot of things we still just don't know. But when we will know it, this is what Yahweh said, how we will get it. And you'll find this in the book of Amos. And what do Yahweh want us to know right now? Well, what he wants us to know right now is how to seek him. Because if we don't learn how to seek the Most High in these last days, we will find ourselves in big trouble. And many of our people don't know how to seek the Most High. But watch what the Creator lets us know in the book of Amos, the third chapter. I want you to read this. Even though a lot of people don't believe this, and that's okay if you don't believe it. That's on you. I know it to be true. And watch what it says. Amos, the third chapter, the seventh verse. Surely. And what do surely mean? It's a fact. It's a truth. Make no mistake about it. Surely, Yahweh Elohim will do nothing, but he revealed his secret unto his servants, the prophets. And a lot of people think they have all kind of revelations sitting in their house, thinking Yahweh is dealing with them, talking to them, and coming to them. How do that benefit Yahweh to bring you a message that you ain't even taking to the people? How do that benefit Yahweh? Yahweh give message to people that will benefit his people. All the various prophets they all benefited the people. Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, they benefited the people. They told the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar. They told the future. They seen the future. The scripture says where there is no vision, the people perish. So how are you having vision, but yet it has no benefit for the people at all? Just you. Just something that you see, you visualize, you dream about. But what do that? How do that help us? Joseph dreams, all his dreams came to pass. And what was he raised for? To deliver our people. What are all the various judges raised for? To deliver our people. And what do Yahweh raise men up to teach us law for? To deliver our people. So ask yourself, why is Yahweh showing you things? And how do that benefit Yahweh? How do Yahweh get anything from that? What spoil will you bring to Yahweh after he gave you a vision of truth? And bring that vision out in the open so we can analyze it, so we can see it. And let's see if it stands the test of times. But Yahweh's secrets, he revealed unto his servants, the prophets. And I know the mass majority of people don't want to believe this at all. And they also want to tell you there's nothing new under the sun, as if Yahweh will not magnify lawmaking honorable, as if knowledge will not increase, because there's nothing new under the sun. These people just lack a lot of understanding. A lot of understanding. Any other questions?
Shalom, praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
Question is, for someone who is learning how to humble themselves before Yah, what are some places in the Torah to begin to read?
Well, you can read a lot of places in the scriptures, all over the scriptures. The scriptures teach us to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And this is what I found. Yahweh, let me show you what the Most High said. One is in the book of Psalm 34. I'm going to show you a couple things. That Yahweh don't lie. And this is what the Creator said. In the book of Psalm 34. And watch what this says. The A verse. It says, O taste and see that Yahweh is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. And this is what I find. A lot of people don't trust in the Most High. And how is it manifested that you don't trust the Most High? Well, you get mad at too much. You get mad at people. You have a haughty attitude. You think you know it all. You think you know what's right. You don't listen. You lash out at people. You turn up your nose at people. Then you separate yourself from Israel. All these things are sure signs that you're not humble at all. Watch the 9th verse. O fear Yah, ye he saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. In other words, you're not going to want things because you fear the Most High, because he's going to take care of your wants, the various desires and needs that you have, because you fear him. And watch the 10th verse. young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek Yahweh shall not want any good thing. And this is what I found. That soon as that want comes, instead of seeking Yahweh, that's when you fail. That's when you show that you're not humble. That's when you demonstrate that your heart is not right, because your want will cause you to sin. Your want will cause you to show who you really are. That might be because you just want a job. And in wanting a job, you're going to look, it's going to show you're not where you think you are. Because you want money, it's going to show that you're not where you really think you are. You want a husband, it's going to show that you're not where you think you are. You want a wife, it's going to show that you're not where you think you are. But if you seek Yahweh, you're not going to want nothing, no good thing. Because Yahweh will fulfill all your wants, all the good things that one can have if you learn to seek Him. And this is something that our people, now, the question was asked about fasting. That's part of seeking the Most High. And the mass majority of our people never even sought the Most High. They only think they sought the Most High, but they have not sought the Most High. Also, in the book of Isaiah 55, that's one scripture. In Psalm 34, but watch what it says in Isaiah 55. And watch what it says. Six verse. Seek ye Yah while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Now, how do you seek the Most High? Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto Yahweh, and he will have mercy upon him and to our Elohim, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says Yahweh. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We have to learn how to seek Yahweh. And I showed you this earlier, but I want to show you again. Proverbs 28. Turn there. Because there's no greater question that one can ask than how to find humility. That's just a powerful question to ask. But that it don't mean nothing if you're not going to execute the testimony, the law, in which will help you to find humility. Watch what it says. Fifth verse. Evil men understand not judgment. And a lot of people don't know what that means. In other words, once you begin to understand judgment, you'll understand why things are happening. As soon as some bad things come to your house, you start pointing the finger. It's his fault. It's her fault. It's their fault. You're talking about people in the congregation. You're talking about people in the streets. You're talking about this person, that person, and you point the finger at everybody else. And why? Evil men don't understand judgment. You don't even understand why these evils is coming to your doors. These evils coming to your doors not because nobody else. they come into your doors, is that's because of the judgment of Yahweh. The same one that brings good is the same one that brings evil. Now, if you understood that, then you wouldn't point at nobody. Oh, she's sick because of that. Oh, he's sick because of this. Or just thought, you don't know why nobody's sick. But we do know is Yahweh's judgment. And evil men don't understand that. So every bad thing that happened to them, they don't see Yahweh's purpose in it. They don't consider what's going on. And watch the latter part of that. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek Yahweh understand all things. And once you begin to learn how to seek the Most High, you'll see why evil come to your doors. And it's not because of such and such and such. It's typically because Yahweh is trying to show you something. These people always messing with me. Well, maybe because you and Yahweh is not right with each other. Just think, every time our people got kicked out of the land and Yahweh brought evil upon them, it wasn't nobody else's fault. It was their fault. So the evil that's coming to your doors, is it somebody else's fault or is it your fault? Stop looking out the window and start looking at the mirror. And that's the first, or that's the beginning of finding humility. Look in the mirror, whatever the evil is. Look in the mirror. Yes, sir. Any other questions? We have to learn how to seek the Most High. And I can tell when I talk to various people, just the things they say, I know is they're not seeking the Most High. Because these are not the things that Yahweh, that it's a total contradiction from his word, in his word. Another scripture on that, because that, like I said, there's no greater question you can ask than to find, the greatest question that one can ask is, give me wisdom. And the second greatest question you can ask is, how do I know and find humility? Have a humble heart. Because Yahweh say, a broken spirit and a contrite heart, Yah will not despise. That's something he will never despise. And you can't do nothing good without wisdom. You got to have wisdom. And this is what it says in 2 Chronicles 15. The second verse, well, first and second verse. And the spirit of Elohim came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Yehuda and Benjamin, Yahweh is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. And if you haven't found him, it's not because you're seeking him. It's just the opposite. If you haven't found Yahweh, it's because you're not seeking him. Because if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. That's simple. Yahweh speaks very plain English. Very plain. And we got to learn how to seek the Most High in all our affairs and endeavors. And I said something earlier about Yahweh giving you visions and dreams. Yes, Yahweh will give any man, any person, visions and dreams. And it just pertains to them. Yahweh will do that. But it pertains to them. It pertains to you. It's not for everybody else. It's for you. And Yahweh will do that. But when Yahweh wants the world to know, and when Yahweh wants his people to know, then Yahweh will send these various visions and these secrets to his prophets, to his messengers. Because this is what Yahweh would do. No other questions? Well, I praise Yah for another opportunity to come before you. We will continue on with questions and answers for the rest of the week. So until tomorrow, Yahweh love you. So do I. Shalom.
As a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Leave me in your truth and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by a seed. The secret of Yahweh who fears Elohim, a fool believes everything. And to every word spoken, you can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse. You know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging Yah for mercy and his love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy. Worthy.
Yeah. Nothing but